Hello? Yeah. Welcome back. All right. Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This is Tuesday, October 6, 2020. Let's start with one of the most recent entries from Barricade Garage. Don't let it happen. Listen to this. Go ahead, please.
Today, people who are still actually anti-science, a whole movement called the anti-vaxxers, who refuse to acknowledge the evidence that vaccinations have eradicated smallpox, and who, by their prejudices,
you well in life, hey, you well in life, why you well in,
you're pumpkinhead,
boy, I'm about to fire.
Revolutionizing medicine by designing robots a fraction of the size of a red blood cell, capable of swimming through our bodies, dispensing medicine, and attacking malignant cells like some Star Wars armada. Neural interface technology.
Hey, this nigga tripping!
You may keep your secrets from your friends, from your parents, your children, your doctor, even your personal trainer. But it takes real effort to conceal your thoughts from Google. It's true today. In future, there may be nowhere to hide. In future, there may be nowhere to hide. Nowhere to hide. Smart cities will populate with sensors, all joined together by the internet of bollards, communing invisibly with lampposts. But this technology could also be used to keep every citizen under round-the-clock surveillance.
There you go. And, yeah, very, very bizarre speech by Bojo. The way The Guardian put it, that was last year, but the way The Guardian put it, the headline read, Pink-Eyed Terminators and Limbless Chickens, Boris Johnson's UN speech in quotes. PM uses his General Assembly speech on the challenges of technology to paint a dystopian future before returning to political crisis at home. So, kind of crazy stuff. And, yeah. Anyway. Hours after the UK Supreme Court, I'll just give you this a little bit from the Guardian article. Hours after the UK Supreme Court delivered perhaps the most humiliating significant of Boris Johnson's defeats, the British Prime Minister delivered his inaugural speech to the UN General Assembly. Johnson's theme was the opportunities and challenges of technology, and he ranged across a variety of subjects from mattresses that can monitor your nightmares to a diet of quote-unquote terrifying limbless chickens. Here's a selection of his quotes. In the future, voice connectivity will be in every room and almost every object. Your mattress will monitor your nightmares. Your fridge will beep for more cheese. A future Alexa will pretend to take orders, but this Alexa will be watching you, clucking her tongue and stamping her foot. You may keep secrets from your friends, from your parents, your children, your doctor, even your personal trainer, but it takes real effort to conceal your thoughts from Google. And on and on. And so, of course, this became fodder for bloggers and YouTubers. Barricade Garage, the most recent entry. Hat tip to Jeff Censored. A couple days before that, hat tip to Really Graceful and others. And so, anyway, yeah, that was a real speech that Bojo gave last year at the UN General Assembly. And finally, I'll just maybe a couple... last three entries in the Guardian article. And it's interesting. Well, that's kind of, I think it's where that started, was the Guardian article. The last three entries, AI, what will that mean? Helpful robots washing and caring for aging population, or pink-eyed Terminators sent back from the future to cull the human race? Number five, what will synthetic biology stand for? Restoring our livers and our eyes with miracle regeneration of the tissues like some fantastic hangover cure? Or will it bring terrifying limbless chickens to our tables? And last but not least, from the Guardian article, when Prometheus brought fire to mankind in a tube of fennel, as you may remember, that Zeus punished him by chaining him to a Tartarian crag while his liver was pecked out by an eagle. And every time his liver regrew, the eagle came back and pecked it again. And this went on forever. A bit like the experience of Brexit in the UK, if some of our parliamentarians had their way. So anyway, Bojo got coronavirus, and I'm sure that, you know, he's feeling much better about these kinds of things now. So, this was actually something that, you know, his UN General Assembly speech last year was something that many folks picked up on. But I think this sort of feeds into the technocratic communitarian nightmare, the dystopian nightmare that's being waged and unleashed on people around the world, us here in America in particular. And so on that note, without further ado, and there are strange things happening, you know, before we get to the new model communitarianism, I will mention there are weird conversations being had, mind-bending conversations, I would say. There, here's one from May of this year from Ernst Roth's channel, and the entire speech, he posted an excerpt, and the Podlitic YouTube channel, Podlitiek, posted the full debate, hour and 33 minutes long. Ernst Roth was one of the participants, and he posted a 5-minute, 16-second excerpt the following day. But it's an interesting discussion. Maybe we'll play a little bit of that. I don't know. We'll see. But first, the excerpt, the new model communitarianism. Listen to this. See if this sounds familiar. Go ahead, please.
Book of Hours is determined to remain an essential platform that offers a creative interpretation for lockdown skeptics and experts who have been censored by mainstream press. Thanks to your donations, we can carry on doing this essential work as working artists. These big issues of the day are vital and need to be heard. So please share our videos, subscribe to our YouTube channel, make a one-time donation on our PayPal page, but most importantly, please be a part of our team on our Patreon page. Go to patreon.com/bookofhours and hit the blue button titled Become a Patron. Thank you.
America's past is steeped in class struggle, economic disparity, and racism. But racism wasn't always what it is today. Although, like today, it was used as a tool to divide poor people and keep them collectively weak. Of course, black slavery, which built much of the United States, including the White House, informed the racism of today and even the racism of the events leading up to the Civil War of the United States. The idea of race, though, didn't happen until European colonizers found that it was a good way to divide humans into categories and profit from those differences. But the story of racism in America was always fueled entirely by economic disparity, with the ruling class pitting poor white people against poor black people, before and after slavery was abolished. Racism has always been a tool used by the wealthy to keep the poor apart from each other and prevent them from banding together to take action against the ruling classes. Martin Luther King Jr. was not a problem in the eyes of the state until he started talking about economic disparity. He wasn't killed because of his civil rights activism. It wasn't until later that he was harassed by the FBI and eventually killed because of his opposition to a war that was fought by poor young men. Poor men, as he pointed out, who were mostly black, but most importantly, who were impoverished and marginalized. The Black Panther movement wasn't targeted by the FBI until after they started programs to feed, educate, and lift up the black community. It was their efforts to bring the black population out of poverty that ultimately brought their attention to J. Edgar Hoover, who launched COINTELPRO, various harassment campaigns, and attacks against the Panthers to bring them down and eliminate their organization and message. Today, we're seeing initiatives and actions to distract all of us from the destabilizing poverty that has been taking place in the U.S. and around the world for years. And it's working. Right now, we're being distracted from the giant economic depression in our midst, as well as what's going on in the background behind the COVID event, behind protests, and behind the calls for reform and defunding of the police. We're not saying that racism doesn't exist. We know it does. Albeit as observers, we've seen it up close through things people say in day-to-day conversations and witnessing verbal mistreatment and physical exclusion. What we thought was especially odd, though, was the recent massive protests that impulsively happened overnight for the sake of one person when many, many others had occurred before without any participation or outrage from people who weren't part of the black community. It was as if these new events were sponsored in some way, because at the same time this was all happening, we were seeing messages on corporate websites and emails talking about racism when it never was mentioned before by these companies on their platforms.
Were these messages and actions as spontaneous as they seemed? Or were they part of an organized plan to appear to support the black community and stand against racism, to distract us from the poverty that exists and what we're all facing, to divide us as people, and to dilute the message? Every resistance movement and marginalized community action that has taken place for the last 65 years, from civil rights to G20 protests and the Occupy movement, have been brought back to life and re-presented to us through the spectacle of the media. But when we look at what's taking place, if we look closely, there is no reflection of the past in the actions of the present. These movements of the past that were once vilified, suppressed, and killed by the state have been brought back to life, turned into vampires with no reflection, and turned loose on all of us to break apart our lives and suck the life out of our imperfect society to ensure that it can never be improved and, most importantly, never return. These vampires are now overseeing zombie armies to recruit well-meaning but unsuspecting people to mimic the movements of the past. And anything that we've seen before will come back as pageantry to confuse and entertain us. We are in the middle of a massive indoctrination campaign, a global shift in economics and in culture. We are being muzzled and kept apart while we're told that we're all in this together. We're also told that masking ourselves and socially isolating from others is for our own good and the good of society, and that we're selfish and putting others at risk if we don't go against our own human nature. We are experiencing a confusing and deliberate manipulation of society to pit people against each other, to break apart any cohesion we once had in order to build up something new, something that will level the playing field, making everyone except the very wealthy the same. The goal is to turn all of us into serfs, serving the ruling class.
We'll cut it there. That was a little bit more than I expected to play, but you get the point. Vampires recruiting armies of zombies, unsuspecting, unwitting folks, and this is what we're dealing with. And most people have not a clue. This is happening right before our very eyes. You know, and we are hearing the message. I mean, you heard it. This idea that, you know, the indoctrination campaign, global shift in economics, the shift is, it's very big. And I think the one thing that I would say, you know, that Patrick Wood has told us that most people don't comprehend, people think shift in economics, but no, it's the new international economic order Patrick Wood has talked about that is resource based. And it's interesting, bad guys have used funny money to capture all production and industry, and from there all resources, and now the hegemonic lock on resources will be made essentially permanent, which reminds me of Washington's farewell address. You know, the way that Washington put it, all obstructions to the execution of the laws, all combinations and associations under whatever plausible character with the real design to direct, control, counteract, or awe the regular deliberation and action of the constituted authorities are destructive of this fundamental principle and of fatal tendency. They serve to organize faction, to give it an artificial and extraordinary force, to put in the place of the delegated will of the nation, the will of a party, often a small but artful and enterprising minority of the community. And so, you know, it's interesting. Communitarianism, maybe we'll play a little excerpt of the video that I was talking about where, you know, these guys are talking about this thing and communitarianism, it sounds great. It's like everything else, socialism, communism, whatever, that we're told, you know, there is this, utopian vision, right? And, I feel like we need to play that Jordan Peterson, John Stossel conversation. Yeah, we should do that. Jordan Peterson versus social justice warriors. And I'll finish the George Washington excerpt. You know, we hear about the utopian vision, but who's driving it? The question is always, who decides? Stick around, we'll be right back.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a seven-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. Krem 2 over in Spokane says they reported yesterday that there have been two COVID-19 super spreader events in Spokane so far. And if you actually listen to Bob Lutz, who I don't trust, and read the article, Spokane Regional Health Officer, Dr. Bob Lutz. Dr. Bob. Wasn't Dr. Bob a character on The Muppets? If you listen and read, it's kind of an underwhelming article. It's interesting. Be afraid. Be very afraid of not much or nothing. You should just stay home and, don't go anywhere. Don't see anyone. But don't worry, because as Yahoo News and others are reporting, your second stimulus check just moved another step closer. Yay. I guess to get the second one, you'd have to get the first one. And I never got the first one. Don't intend to. Don't want it. Don't need it. No, thank you. I digress. There are other interesting articles of this variety that correlate to the clip that we just played. This one over in the Flathead Valley, KPAX TV, Flathead County COVID cases reach critical numbers. And it's interesting, you know, I've seen a few of these. There's the second wave stuff. We should play, Dr. Benito over in Spain. It's back in August that, Breitbart actually did a write up on that, which was amazing. I mean, we would play it, but it's in Spanish, so if you don't know Spanish, then there's that old joke, right? What do you call someone who speaks three languages? Trilingual. What do you call someone who speaks two languages? Bilingual. What do you call someone who speaks one language? American. So it would probably be lost on at least some of the audience. But if you read the Breitbart article, Dr. Benito, Spain, how about Breitbart? If I do a quick search for that, I'm sure it'll come up. There is no emergency, Spanish doctor. Yeah. August 23rd. So the title, Delling poll, there is no emergency, Spanish doctor challenges coronavirus second wave. And he actually said it in the mainstream Spanish news interview. He was supposed to be a doctor of, you know, cut from establishment cloth. It didn't work out that way. But he said, you know, I think you guys are just trying to foment a second wave. Isn't that interesting? Because that's exactly what we're seeing now. Funny how that works. So this other article, you know, and so the point of mentioning that now is that, you know, we're hearing about, I mean, I was joking last week. Is it time to move to Florida, Tennessee, Mississippi? Where else? Florida, Tennessee, Mississippi. Where's the other state that recently opened up and people say, yay? Or is that a setup? Are you being set up to fail? You know, second wave. Oh, my goodness. See, we let you guys have a little bit of freedom. And I said this months ago. Remember, we talked about this at the beginning of summer. This would happen around this time exactly. You know, we gave you a little bit of freedom, and look what you guys did. Kevin, everybody, you know, what happens, and I've talked about that in the past, when you have a jack-in-the-box, for example, you press it down, you wind it up, what happens? Boing. There's a reaction. Especially when people have been conditioned. I need to get back to the psychology aspect of it. People have been conditioned to behave in a reactionary sort of fashion. Been pressed down all summer. We get a moment of freedom and, oh, see, you naughty little children. You caused the second wave. And who will argue? Well, I guess, you know, I guess it is our fault because people have been inured. Part of what's going on here. So this article, Flathead County COVID cases reach critical numbers. And where is it? Oh, yes. Over the past 2 weeks, 722 new lab confirmed cases were reported. Well, there you go. And but what kind of testing are they doing? Two more Flathead County residents died over the weekend, marking 21 deaths overall. In several months, and how many of those are directly attributed to this deal? But wait, there's the flu shot question too. James will help us answer that. But there was one more little sentence in this article that I thought was very telling. I'll mention that when we come back, and we'll get back to Washington and all the rest of it. Phones too. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized, and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show, Red Pill Hardcore, is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443. at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RVN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Today, people who are still actually anti-science, a whole movement called the anti-vaxxers, who refuse to acknowledge the evidence that vaccinations have eradicated smallpox, and who, by their prejudices, are actually endangering the very children they want to protect. And I totally reject this anti-scientific pessimism. I'm profoundly optimistic about the ability of new technology to serve as a liberator and to remake the world wondrously and benignly. Indeed, in countless...
Bojo at his finest. So, continuing this article, coronavirus, Flathead County COVID cases reach critical numbers. Tell me if this doesn't sound like hyperbolic, you know, sensationalist spin. Be afraid. Be very afraid. But I mentioned, you know, two more Flathead County residents died over the weekend, marking 21 deaths overall, which is not anything to marginalize or trivialize. But I've also talked in times past of folks, you know, the number of suicides at one point was triple, and this was in 1 week, the number of COVID-related deaths. I don't know what that number is now, but the fallout from the you know, these prophylactic measures or whatever bad guys want to call them, basically hermetically sealing people off from each other and themselves, the fallout from those measures is greater, as far as I can tell, than, you know. And then of course there are the adjusted numbers, and that's ridiculous. Then of course, you know, as I said, James Corbett was asked the question, is there a flu shot COVID link? This is a question that I was asking, hadn't really dug into it. James dug into it and answers the question very articulately, answered it back on September 17th. And this final sentence, though, and then we'll get back to this other stuff. So final sentence from this article, it says, Flathead County is now functioning at critical levels for COVID, comma, including case investigation capacity. So like people are noting, it's a case demic now. It's the only, it's so deadly, you know, it's the only, it's so deadly you have to get tested to know you have it, right? I mean, what did Kayleigh McEnany say? I don't have any symptoms, but my heart goes out to those people who are having a rough go through it anyway. So, you know, Rand Paul got it and he seems to be fine. Again, not marginalizing or trivializing in any way, just saying the fear propaganda is off the charts. So Flathead County is now functioning at critical levels for COVID, critical levels for COVID, including case investigation capacity, community concern, and hospitalizations. Hospitalizations mentioned last. Case investigation capacity, community concern. Have they really, what litmus test have they, how did they arrive at this statement? Critical levels of community concern? How on earth was that established? It just, I want to ask, but again, it's the asymmetry of BS, I think, that's in full effect here. So, what do you do? You know, and the rumor is right now that Flathead County has 846 total active cases. Where is the number of hospitalizations? Total hospitalizations is only 773. Active hospitalizations statewide are 216 in 56 different counties. That would be, you know, I mean, I dare say that would be a manageable number. I mean, even in one county, 216 hospitalizations should be manageable in just about any county in Montana, especially Flathead County. So I'm pretty sure 216 hospitalizations statewide would mean that Flathead County is probably not at a critical level for hospitalizations. I'm just guessing there. I don't know what the breakdown is per county, but that sounds a little sensational to me. And then, of course, you know, again, there are the numbers being doctored, you know, the most recent announcement from CDC. Oh, you know what? Now that we got that, I mean, aerosolization is not a thing. It's a thing. No, it's not a thing, but it's a thing. We keep going back and forth on that, which, again, reminds me of the Alice in Wonderland technique, the applied power of confusion. I want to get back to Washington. And then, you know, speaking of communitarianism and the propaganda, and then probably to the phones real quick. We should play the Jordan Peterson, John Stossel clip, though. That's great. Great stuff. So the way that Washington put it, George Washington in his farewell address, 1796, that's been a few years. So backing up a little bit, I'll read the whole thing. He said, the very idea of the power and the right of the people to establish government presupposes the duty of every individual to obey the established government. Because, you know, if you create it, then obey what you created. But as Jefferson pointed out, this requires an informed populace, not propagandized, a well-informed populace. And, you know, well-armed sheep. Wasn't that Benjamin Franklin? I don't know. So the very idea of the power and the right of the people to establish government presupposes the duty of every individual to obey the established government. By 1837, Andrew Jackson, in his farewell address, acknowledged the reality of the kinds of combinations and associations that Washington mentioned. Jackson said, these guys are getting together and harming the vast majority of Americans, so we need to be vigilant about this. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty, he said. And we must pay the price if we wish to secure the blessing. It's interesting to note the context or the backdrop of those remarks by Jackson. But continuing, Washington said, all obstructions to the execution of the laws, all combinations and associations under whatever plausible character, with the real design, even Jefferson or even Washington acknowledged, as Alan Watt says, the real, you know, the good reason and the real reason, under whatever plausible character, with the real design to direct, control, counteract, or awe the regular deliberation and action of the constituted authorities, are destructive of this fundamental principle and of a fatal tendency. They serve to organize faction, to give it an artificial and extraordinary force, to put in the place of the delegated will of the nation the will of a party, often a small but artful and enterprising minority of the community. Who's deciding? Where is this voice from on high that comes down through ostensibly organic grassroots channels? From whence does it derive? Often a small but artful and enterprising minority of the community, and according to the alternate triumphs of different parties, to make the public administration the mirror of the ill-concerted and incongruous projects of faction, rather than the organ of consistent and wholesome plans digested by common councils and modified by mutual interests. And then he said, however combinations or associations of the above description may now and then answer popular ends, and they will create crises to, you know, foment these sort of circumstances, to engineer and manufacture these circumstances for precisely these reasons. But Washington went on, he said, they are likely in the course of time and things to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them to unjust dominion. So they've created a funny money system, and I need to get back to Alan Greenspan saying, you know, before you read my book, read Ben Steele's book. And what did Ben Steele say about Bretton Woods? He said he credited the Marshall Plan for enacting the mechanics of Bretton Woods. And at Event 201, they called for a new Marshall Plan. And so that's what's happening. This is, you know, what we're seeing, the technocratic New international economic order is resource-based. And so as Washington said, in the course of time and things, this funny money system that most people identify with Bretton Woods, by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men, you know, has given them the ability, enabled them to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them to unjust dominion. They're going to jettison that system like a booster rocket. And the new system will permanently, it's the intention is to permanently install hegemonic lock on resources. And we won't have the funny money system anymore. That's their intention. I think that, as I've said before, speaking of Bobby Kennedy, if he and his brother and Martin Luther King and Cesar Chavez and, you know, Malcolm X and a few other folks could have gotten together, I think they were getting it figured out. And I think that it's the unity, the message of unity, the you know, as I've said before, Martin Luther King Jr. In particular saying, you know, he was sick of the war and the conflict and wasn't willing to be anybody's pawn or political tool anymore. That, you know, goes along with the message that we heard in the video. Anyway, to the phones. Fred in Iowa, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, hello. Great program, or great show as usual. I don't like to use the word program. The clip that you played in the before the bottom of the hour, divide and conquer. And I wish people would get this through their heads, and especially a lot of knuckleheaded RBN hosts, because they perpetuate this racial divide. Now, hell, we all have our prejudice and biases, but for criminy sake, they yap on about, you know, the whites getting stomped on and everything, and they talk about Antifa, which Antifa is very real. But the thing of it is, we're all enslaved. And I can't recall his name from Wounded Knee in South Dakota 10 or 12 years ago, said
Russell
we're
Means.
All on the reservation. Go ahead, what was you going to say?
Russell Means?
Yeah, Russell Means. I've got him downloaded, but it just tees me off when I hear the same crap on RBN. You know, it's dividing us. I can understand, for criminy sakes, we have our differences in cultural things like that, but God dang it. The listeners today should go to the archives and listen to your show again. But one of the things we got to do is get off our arses and talk to people. And talk to all your friends and talk to all your enemies about this stuff, about coronavirus BS and race division and all this. I could go on about a lot of other things, but you're covering a lot of ground. And anyhow, I'm going to get off there and won't take up any more time. Have a hell of a good... Hey, I'm go up there to Yak Valley, or I may go to Flathead County or Belfouche in upper corner of South Square. Hey, bye-bye. Have a good day.
Thank you, Fred, as always. Much appreciated. The... bad guys have had their eye on those areas for a long time, and doesn't mean that, you know, shouldn't consider it. I'm just saying, you know, William in Montana and I had a conversation on air about that some time ago. And so interesting things. You know, since the dubious Air Force radar station up there, it's interesting the kinds of people you'll find and the curious questions some people ask. I'll tell you one experience that I had, though, that is different, you know, from that area. And then down into the city of Troy. I mentioned a while back, you know, there was an incident, and I was happened to be up in the Yak, and then down in Troy. And the people in those areas, and the Yak, and I have talked about the controversy about internet. Some people saying, we got to get internet up there into a community of, what, like 100 people? What do we need to spend all kinds of resources to do that for? And I've talked about how that and Troy are a model. And there is the governor's commission to try to bring broadband into, you know, all of Montana, using these places as pilot projects and stuff. And in the act, they say, we don't want it. It specifically says that when you look around up there. If you're looking for internet or phone service, you probably want to go somewhere else because, you know, it's not great here. And we don't really care that it's not great. But I remember being up there and then back down in Troy and hearing that, you know, I mean, people were talking about the news of the day, you know, the latest, whatever it was, the latest, what was it? Some kind of incident. And, you know, I literally heard someone at a coffee shop in Troy, Montana say, you know, they were talking about it in both places the same day and saying, did ISIS take credit for it? So this is, you know, it reminds me of Dave Chappelle, when Jon Stewart and Dave Chappelle were interviewed by Christiane Amanpour not long ago. They go around the world. Dave Chappelle comes back and says, I think we're all drinking from the same trough, basically. And so, you know, you put that together with what Dinesh D'Souza said in that interview with Candace Owens, when he said, facts do not defeat a narrative. And what do you come away with? I think maybe asking questions. I've said for years there's a gestation period, it seems, for the unwashed. You know, if you can ask questions or maybe provide thought-provoking answers to their questions, there's still, in my experience, a gestation period of 6 to 9 months maybe, where eventually somebody will come back and say, hey, you know, I was thinking about what you said. Or in a more pedestrian sense, what often happens is, you know, they go off and investigate based on a conversation you had and come back full circle, not realizing they've come back to the conversation that you had 6 or 9 months ago, and they say something like, hey, did you know, have you heard? And you kind of scratch your head and think to yourself, yeah, that's exactly what we talked about 6 or 9 months ago. But there is, I don't know, in my experience, a gestation period. And so patience, grace, and mercy are definitely in order, I would say. Back to the phones. Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, I had something that I wanted to comment on back about 2 or 3 subjects ago, but
yeah,
I can't remember now what it was. But now I'm urging people to research this. I cannot find anything about it on the Internet. Of course, Elon Musk was jokingly, I thought, talking about nuking the North Pole of Mars or pulsing the North Pole of Mars with nukes to try to melt the polar caps in this. And what I'm getting at is we've had an incident apparently in South America with the South Atlantic anomaly where some fish have actually been burnt near the surface of the water apparently because of an atmospheric breach due to that magnetic anomaly. And if you think about how much energy that takes, this is in a very small area, maybe 50 miles in circumference where this has occurred. But what that indicates, though, is that there's probably atmosphere being swept away by whatever caused it, you know, a storm of cosmic rays and or a magnetic anomaly with the Earth's magnetic field. And so this, you know, is the reason why nuking the North Pole of Mars is not a good idea, because most of what you would unleash would get swept away because Mars just doesn't have a good envelope around it like the Earth does. So, you know, I've looked and looked and looked. I've got it on pretty good authority from a guy who is ex-Navy and he's got a bunch of contacts. And so, you know, it's just like an early shot across the bow for this atmospheric changes or whatever that we may be facing. But it seems like what you were talking about vaccines earlier, and I ran across this site called C19 Study. Have you looked at that? That's got a collection of bunch of studies to do with hydroxychloroquinone and even ivermectin. There's some positive studies on, of course, vitamin D. A little old Fauci guy is supposedly taking 6,000 units a day vitamin D, and that's way more than you would think you should for being a small guy.
So what does he know that we don't know? And in the email, he doesn't mention anything else like taking vitamin K2. So people that research this need to talk to a good nutritionist or a holistic health guy or somebody that knows, because you should pair up high-dose vitamin D with some calcium and K2, or magnesium and K2, so that you don't get calcium going where you don't want it, making kidney stones or calcium on your heart valves. And something you had brought up about the vaccines earlier made me think of that. But I can't remember what it was now. I'm sitting here frantically researching this hole in the ozone layer, burning fish in the South Atlantic, and I can't find nothing about it. It's like there's a total news blackout on it. So they don't want to panic the public if that's happening, I guess. Just something to look for. If anybody can find it, maybe you can get it posted up on Republic Broadcasting or whatever. But I'll let you go.
All right.
Thanks for taking my call. Bye.
You're welcome. I don't know. That discussion is not my wheelhouse by any stretch of the imagination. So I'm out on that, and more, I guess, focused on the fish we're frying here. So here on this planet, that is. So anyway, the flu vaccine COVID connection that James Corbett elucidated for us, I suppose, you know, bad guys might want to use that word, back on September 17th. You did a good job of that. I think we'll come back to that tomorrow and a bunch of other stuff. Where, oh, where is Greta these days? Where's David Hogg? There are terrible ongoing abuses being committed against our youth. Where are these guys? Anyway, we'll talk more about that kind of stuff tomorrow. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.